You're listening to Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron, two guests on this edition of Colchonero Chat, Into the Calderon staff writer Robert Walker, and making his pod debut, he's a coach, he's a scout, the co-founder of thespecialones.com, Andre Sherard. He's also a dedicated Valencia fan through good times and bad, and he's here to talk about Valencia's loss to Atletico at the Calderon on Sunday, and on a deeper level, what's going on with the club in general. From ownership to ultras and more, we talk all about what ails Valencia, this once great Spanish club, now mired in mid-table mediocrity. All that and a lot more after this. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
So I'm here, Rob is here as well.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. Can you guys hear each other?
Yep. I got him.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Andre, what we're going to do is we're going to start with our La Liga whip around. We like to do this every Monday/Tuesday episode, just run through the results from the past weekend and where the table stands. Then we'll get into the really good stuff.
Oh, great.
I can sense sounds how excited tight. You are. Yeah, you seem really excited there.
Oh, yeah, especially after Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were excited. We're not sure that you were, but we certainly were excited.
So, I bet you guys were.
Yeah, we were pretty happy. But before we get to Sunday, let's start with Friday. Real Betis and Real Sociedad, that finished 3-2 to Real Sociedad. Another win for the Basque side, who temporarily moved into fourth, went ahead by a goal three separate times in that game, and Xabi Prieto netting a double, kind of rare for him, but two well-taken goals. On Saturday, Leganés and Granada, another big win for Leganés in the relegation battle. They beat Granada a goal to nil, and they are now 5 points clear of the drop. Granada are still in the drop zone, 4 points adrift of safety. Eibar 1, Real Madrid 4, not really much of a surprise, unfortunately, for Adi Perua, Karim Benzema notching a double. Villarreal with a 2-0 win over Espanyol, pretty standard for Villarreal, who looked to be recovering form somewhat, 3 wins out of their last 4. And the final game Saturday was Barcelona 5, Celta Vigo 0, as Barcelona tuning up for what could be an epic comeback in the Champions League on Wednesday against PSG. They just hammered Celta. I was actually thinking that would be kind of a close game, but it was not at all.
Yeah, not even close.
No. Yeah, on Sunday, Sporting Gijón 0, Deportivo La Coruña 1. Deportivo ending a winless run. The first one under new coach Pepe Mel. Sends them 4 points clear of relegation. Las Palmas 5, Osasuna 2. This was a wild one. Las Palmas snapping a winless run of their own, as they are now 13 points clear of the drop. They're going to be safe. The comical own goal scored in this game by, I think it was Unai Lopez.
Yeah, well, and also Osasuna were winning at one point.
They were up 2-1, weren't they?
Yeah, I believe they were, and they are easily the worst team in the league this year, so that was interesting.
Yeah.
And shouts out to Hesse for scoring 2 goals. As many goals as he had with his PSG career.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, he was fantastic. Although it was against Osasuna, he was still very good. So we'll give him a little bit of credit. Just 10 points through 26 weeks for Osasuna. Yikes. Finally, on Sunday, Athletic 1, Malaga 0. Former Atletico hero Raul Garcia scoring the winning penalty about 20 minutes from time. To hand Athletic all 3 points and put them 4 points back of Villarreal for the final Europa League place. So here's what the table looks like. Barcelona are top on 60 points. Real Madrid on 59 with a game in hand. Sevilla on 56 after they drew with Deportivo Alaves on Monday. And Atletico are in fourth, as we'll talk about. Sociedad are in fifth and Villarreal in sixth. Now, we did not mention one result from the weekend, which was Atletico 3, Valencia 0. We have Andre here to talk about Valencia's plight. Andre, Valencia have been playing pretty well of late. 3 wins from 4. They've beaten Real Madrid at Mestalla. But everything went wrong on Sunday.
Yeah, it did. Watching the game over again after trying to forget about it on Sunday. It just looked like Atletico were on, and Valencia just, they were pretty much second best, like we pretty much been for most of the season, except for a couple of games against Athletic Bilbao and Real Madrid. But when I watched that game, I was just like, yeah, the better team won. They were comfortable. Antoine Griezmann, once again, like he's been doing pretty much all my Valencia career, even for La Real,
yeah,
ends up biting me in the butt.
Yeah, he loves Valencia.
So it was just kind of the game fell out kind of how I thought it would if Atletico came out to play, and Valencia just were basically second best for the whole game. I couldn't be too angry about it because if Madrid came out and did their thing, it was going to look like that.
Yeah, and that's been the question for Atletico this season. Which version of Atletico is going to show up in any given week? Because the team's league form has just been so inconsistent. It's been up and down. And honestly, entering this game, I thought it would be a very tight game. Like, I thought both teams were going to score, and it would go 2-1 either way. And instead, Atletico come out and put in one of their best performances of the season. So it shows how little we know, even though we write about the team and talk about them on a weekly basis. It shows how little we know.
I mean, it's been a weekly headache with knowing which Atleti's going to show up at the weekend or midweek. So, yeah, you know, of course this is the game they win 3-0 and they draw with Depor midweek. So,
yeah, so let's get into this game. The beating started early. Inside the first 10 minutes, Atleti pretty much right from kickoff were the better side. And Griezmann notched his first goal of two inside 10 minutes. I'm trying to remember what the goal was because he scored two. This was a quick counterattack. Koke fed him a perfectly weighted through ball, and Griezmann took it up. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm losing my place here. It's a good thing I edit this. Griezmann took it up as Atleti seemed to come out of really focusing on the counterattack, and Koke executed his through ball well. Grizzy took it in stride, his 10th goal of 2017, past Diego Alves, who stonewalled him earlier in the season from the penalty spot, as we remember, at Mestalla, and that put Atleti ahead 1-0. Andre, what did you see on the opening goal? Was it just poor defending or really well-executed counterattack?
Well, I think it was a mixture of both, but Enzo Perez got himself caught out a little too far, in which once that flick hit the Koke, they were basically onto the races, and our defenders can't really defend it on space like that. So, you know, Griezmann made a great run. Malaga couldn't keep up with him, and I think that's kind of how it played out. You know, like I was watching the Real Madrid game when they played them, I was wondering why they were playing high cross after high cross. I mean, our defenders seem to get caught up if you play low and on the ground and play quick passes, which that's what Atletico did on that first goal where, you know, Koke makes a run through the middle, Antoine Griezmann makes a run from right to left, and he finishes home because we can't deal with that.
Yeah,
we can deal with aerial battles, but we can't deal with anything going low on the ground. So I think it was perfectly executed, but Enzo Perez kind of left the defenders out to dry by, you know, being a little too tight on one of their attackers, which led to that counter.
Yeah, Enzo Perez has been a pretty interesting case. He hasn't been particularly good this season, I don't think. And he misplayed a couple passes in the second half that led to more like breaks, and those were just really awful. With having the center backs in Garaya and Mangala, who is, I know, Rob's favorite center back in like the world.
Yeah, best in world football.
Best in world football. Yeah, you love Mangala. Loves him. But the point of having those two center backs is they're both really good in the air. They're pretty athletic. But positionally, they have a lot of problems keeping up with pace and short passing games. And Atleti did that extremely well throughout this game, and especially on the first goal when they broke so quickly, like in the snap of a finger. And before you know it, oh, here's Griezmann with a super finish past Alves. And just not really much they can do because that's not their game. That's not what they're best at.
Yeah, for sure. And I believe Enzo Perez also got his 15th yellow card of the season
in this game as well. Is he up to 15 now?
He's had a few of them.
Oh, he got another yellow card? Oh, that's pretty typical.
Yeah, who could have seen that coming?
Yeah, he is up to 10 yellow cards this season in 20 games.
Oh, sounds about right.
Yellow card every other game.
Good for you, Enzo Perez. Good for you. Yeah, I remember when he was good. That was before he came to Valencia.
Gosh, I was so excited to get him.
Yeah, he was really good when you guys acquired him. And it looked like a good deal, and now he's just really not good.
Yeah, it seems like that with our club.
at least you still have Danny Parejo, though, and I love him.
This is true.
Yeah,
he has been balling lately, which I kind of have a love-hate relationship because there are times where it looks like he's not even trying,
yeah.
Which kind of, as a soccer fan and a former soccer player, it kind of gets on my nerves, like when you lose a ball and he kind of like saunters, but he comes up with some magic every once in a while, and he's been doing that lately so far for us. So I'm back on the love part, but I'm sure that hate part's going to come in the near future.
Give it a couple of weeks. Yeah, it seemed like he was all set to go to Sevilla. He was going to hold out, and he was going to wait for that call to join up with Sampaoli and Sevilla. Never quite worked out. And Perejo is such a talented player. The effort has, certainly over the last year or so, the effort has been the issue.
But, it seems like that's the case a lot of the time with the super talented players that can do everything in the world. They just feel like they can stroll around a lot of the time.
Yeah. First half, continuing on in the first half, Atleti came pretty close to a second, led by Felipe Luis. Felipe Luis playing a lot more of an attacking role than he had in recent weeks. You kind of hadn't really noticed it until this game, just how much Atleti had missed Felipe bounding up and down the left wing. He had been really focused on his defensive duties, but he gave Cancelo a really, really rough time out there.
Yeah, Felipe Luis ball in this game. Yeah, I mean, he was sensational the whole time, I thought, both ends of the pitch. He was really sensational.
And you don't...
Hey, Barcelona, don't be discouraged about Cancelo playing this badly, by the way.
He had one of the best back passes I've ever seen.
Yes.
Almost led to a goal.
Yeah, excellent. So, yeah, you're on the sell Cancelo train.
Yes, for 30 million.
For 30 million.
30 million. Barcelona, get on that. You guys been overpaying for our guys for the last couple of years. So get on that, Barcelona. You can do it.
He believes in you.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. If you had to sell one, him or Jose Gaia, it would be Cancelo, right?
Cancelo.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. I still like Gaia, even though he had that great 2014-15. He's still so young, even though he hasn't quite replicated his form of that season. I'd still prefer him, too, I think.
Yeah, he's consistent, but that potential is there to be pretty good. To make a whip and a good cross, he gets up and down. He's a very tenacious defender.
Mm-hmm.
I love that in a defender, especially a fullback like that.
And in this game, you saw a little bit of that. Valencia had about 55-60% possession for most of the game, but they never got anywhere close to Jan Oblak. And this was classic Atleti in the two banks of four, making sure there were no touches anywhere close to dangerous positions, forcing everything out wide, forcing these crosses that were easily controlled, easily headed out. And yeah, Valencia just kind of a fruitless pursuit of a goal as we reached halftime. And then almost immediately after halftime, Felipe starts another counter with a ton of space in front of him. He picks out Kevin Gamero charging toward the box. And then Gamero takes a shot from just inside the box. It deflects off Mangala, flutters past Diego Alves to double the lead. It's Gamero's 10th of the season.
Yes, it was a lovely assisted in by Mangala after the original shot.
Had to mention Gamero, that.
But not enough to be an own goal.
Yeah. Definitely a generous deflection. So that made
it look prettier, for sure.
That made it 2-0, and Atleti then spent the next half hour looking for goal number three. This is when Valencia made some just horrible back passes. Enzo Perez made one. Cancelo made one. Griezmann was stopped 1v1 with Diego Alves. Gamero was tackled by Mangala close to goal, and a really, really good tackle. And Griezmann floated a shot past Woodwork. I mean, Atleti were just ceding possession, but still in full control of the game. And it hasn't been very often that we've been able to say that about Atletico this season, where this counterattacking strategy puts them back in control.
Yeah, the Griezmann one-on-one with Diego Alves I thought was pretty interesting because it was almost a carbon copy of the first goal that was scored just at the other end of the pitch, but he put it wide that time, so that could have easily been punished with a goal. There were several opportunities for them to put this game away, but it took them longer than perhaps was expected, I guess.
It did, and I thought when Voro brought on Bakali and Santimina that maybe they were going to pull one back. Andre, what did you think of Voro's changes? Very, very attacking in intent.
I think just to give it a try, see if there could be some energy, because obviously the energy was lacking even though we were having possession, but you guys were having more chances than us. So bringing on two kind of spark plugs that could come in there and try to at least liven up ourselves and try to get back into the game. I think that was at least a good try on Voro's part, because we looked lifeless at least trying to go to goal at that point in time.
And yeah, I agree. It was a good idea. I mean, what else you got to lose? I mean, both very young players, pretty fast players, and you got to get the attack going. You've been able to sustain possession. If you can just get the ball to one of these guys, they can saunter through, slip through a defense, maybe pull one back. But Atleti retained control of the game, and Griezmann did add the third in the 83rd minute. Two of Atleti's own substitutes, Nico Gaitán and Thomas Partey, combined to set him up for the goal. Gaitán picked out Griezmann from a long ways away, but the pass was short. Luckily, Thomas was there and tapped to Griezmann to slide home for his second of the afternoon. And then Gaitán nearly added a fourth goal in stoppage time with a sensational move coming in from the left-hand side before he blazed over. But that was that. Finished 3-0, 3 points for Atleti, who are now back into fourth place, at least for a few more days. Overall, Andre, you said that this wasn't too surprising.
No, I mean, if you guys play your A game, I think that you have the better team than us. Unfortunately, I wish, 7 years back I wouldn't be saying this, because right, we would actually have a decent team. But today, I mean, on Sunday, it was a performance that, I've been watching Atleti closely also, and it was something that surprised me, because I thought, there were times where they made mistakes, especially I saw in the Depor game where Oblak just basically passes it and Jimenez passes it basically to Andon and gives the goal. I thought at least, hey, maybe we can, find a way to unlock them with possibly a mistake on their end, but you guys hardly made any mistakes on the day, and I had nothing but to applaud you on the performance, really.
Well, appreciate that. Cheers. In terms of statistics from this game, Atleti outshot Valencia 18-6 with just one shot on target for Valencia, despite 57% possession. Kind of a classic Atletico performance, just lethal on the counterattack. I thought Koke was great. One of his better games of the season, despite playing off the left-hand side. Carrasco started out very brightly, ended up not making it to 80 minutes, but imagine if Carrasco had gotten going in this game. Oof.
What do you guys think of him so far this season in general?
When Carrasco has been in form, he's been brilliant. He has been just fantastic. A wizard on the ball, so fast, has a vicious shot, but he's had attitude problems. He's moped around a little bit. When he's not in form, he is kind of invisible out there.
Yeah, and the first half of the season, he was pretty invisible and poor in some games. But hopefully, he's coming into a bit of form now.
Yeah, he went almost 3 months without scoring there. 2.5 months without scoring. He's got 8 goals this season, but they've come in bunches.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of games where he just that attitude. It's just kind of. It rubbed me the wrong way watching him play, and I was just like, I wonder what Atleti fans think of this.
Like, I love Carrasco.
I love Carrasco.
And he won't. No, if it comes down to that, Simeone will win. Like I can imagine them like getting like in a cage match, and Simeone will have him down in like 10 seconds.
Oh yeah, that'd be over.
Yeah, but Carrasco is so good, and I love watching him play. But the attitude, it's been an issue at times this season. Hopefully, however, he is coming into a good run of form right now. Speaking of players in form, we mentioned Felipe was great in this game, but how about Chime Vrsaljko? Has been so solid stepping in for Juan Fran. And I back in January, I wrote a column on Into the Calderon about how Juan Fran was going to be the key guy in the second half of the season. Boy, was I wrong. Juan Fran has been out since the Celta game. Vrsaljko has stepped right in. And whenever, really, he has had very few clunkers this season. Solid again on Sunday.
Yeah, you and I have praised him a lot on this podcast so far this season. I've been very impressed with him as well. I think he's been really great defensively as well as going forward. He's put in some wonderful crosses and several points this season. And honestly, this was probably one of the weakest defenses Athletic could have fielded in terms of center backs, but they were given some wonderful cover by both Vrsaljko and Felipe Luis.
Well, I've forgotten about this. Lucas and Savage were the center back pairing at Mestalla in October. And Valencia were very good in that game. Were pretty hard done by to lose that one 2-0 like they did. Really back and forth, end-to-end affair. But Lucas and Savage were very good on Sunday. Savage in particular, our good friend of the pod, Ewan McTeer, wrote a column in Marca on how Savage has really stepped up when Godin hasn't played this season. We've criticized him a lot. Andre, I'm wondering if you've seen the same things that we have in terms of positionally. Savage has been weaker this season. He's looked slower. He definitely hasn't looked as good. On Sunday, he was very good though without Godin.
Yeah, I agree with that. Seeing him last year, I thought he was one of your better players. Defensively, obviously you have Godin, who's pretty much a world class defender in his right. But yeah, this past season, Savage hasn't been as good. But today he shut down Zaza. Shut down the guys that we had, and I think he did well on a day. I think both of them did.
Yeah, they really did. And Lucas, we've had a lot of praise for Lucas. He hasn't played a whole lot because of Godin, obviously, and Jimenez and Savage all preferred to him. But whenever he's played, we've talked about this before, he has held his own, and he did it again on Sunday. He has a future at center back or at left back. Hopefully he stays out of trouble. As he had the recent domestic violence issues, which had resulted in a sense of community service. So hopefully that ends that. Hopefully he stays out of trouble, though, and presses on, kicks on, and knows what he has to do going forward. As far as Valencia were concerned, not great. Let's talk about Valencia on a deeper level than this game. Has this season been tougher for you, Andre, than last season?
I don't know, because having Gary Neville around really did. And the thing about that was, he got appointed on my birthday.
Oh, God.
December 2nd, turning 30. I was like, this is going to be a good day.
No.
So my Twitter ping up in the morning. It's like, Gary Neville, new manager, huh? I was like, oh, this must be a joke. maybe Philip Neville, because he's been around. But it's like, nope.
No, it's Gary.
Whole graphic, Gary Neville, new manager of Valencia. So, I think this season, I've kind of been going through it, especially with all these managerial changes, and obviously with the Gary Neville experiment, which failed miserably, that I kind of came into this thinking, all right, we're going to probably be at the middle of the pack. I didn't think we'd struggle as much as we did, but I thought, okay, obviously we have an owner that doesn't know what he's doing, as we can pretty much all see for our own eyes.
Yep, I think that's true.
And you have a bunch of players who pretty much, they don't know who's coming and going, and then you have the fans who are arguing with the club, especially with the club trying to instill under 30 restriction for the supporters group, the ultras, and that rubbed some of the, you know, older ultras the wrong way, as it was. So you have all this stuff going on, and then, hey, you guys have to play a football match. So really, it was it's just been tough these last couple of years. The surprise and shock factor has worn off for me.
Yeah,
especially after last year, where I was just like, you know what, I'm going to expect us to lose a couple of inexplicable games to like a Sporting Gijón or draw Granada at home. I don't like it, but it kind of is what it is. And then, you know, we'll show up against Real Madrid, or we'll show up against Barcelona and fight. And I think that's all I want from the team, the players, is just fight for me. Just fight for me as a fan. Go out there and play as hard as you can. As an ownership group, there's no real clarity. There's no real direction to it. So until we figure out, all right, get some football people that actually know what they're doing, and then, you know, start building up from the youth all the way up there, then maybe you can do something and stop buying players from Jorge Mendes, because all his players aren't Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes. I was looking at your squad before this game, and there are a ton of players on loan.
Yeah. I think the FFP, the financial fair play.
Yeah, you guys got hammered with
taken
that.
A huge toll.
Yeah.
Especially not being able to make Champions League. And honestly, I don't, until we kind of figure things out and just scrap all the players that we thought were going to do things, until we do all that and just kind of go from the ground up, we're not going to be making Champions League anytime soon. I just don't see it.
Yeah, there needs to be a plan in place, and at any rate, the lack of stability off the pitch is a major concern. It's bad enough that you guys are going to avoid relegation now, which that's a plus. It looked for a while this season like Valencia were going to be pretty deep in the relegation race, but now 10 points clear of Granada, 13th place. I'd say an outside shot at maybe even finishing 10th. Definitely at least 11th, which may end up being where you expected.
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't think we'd struggle that mightily to start off with. I knew there was at least probably 6 or 7 teams better than us, and that's sad to think that about your own club. But, you know, obviously Atleti, Barca, and Real Madrid I thought were better than us, and, you know, Athletic Bilbao and Villarreal, even though we beat Villarreal,
yep.
I thought that they had better, you know, more cohesive squads than us that probably would pimp us. But I didn't expect us to be this bad. And I think Las Palmas has only won one away match all year, and that was the first match of the season against Valencia.
Yeah, it was. One win away for the season for Las Palmas.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. Remember that one. Prince Boateng scored.
Yep.
They're not good off the Canary Islands.
No, they're not. Turns out. And they're getting less good at home, although they won this past weekend against Osasuna. So I take it you're not a big Peter Lim fan. Very few people are.
No, I'm not.
You mentioned he needs – football people have got to be appointed there. What needs to change? What precisely needs to change in terms – not just avoiding Mendes – but in terms of a transfer policy, youth policy, bringing through more players like Carlos Soler, I think could be a plus for you guys. What needs to change, though, in transfer policy and in just good old football know-how?
Bringing in the youth. We've been good in the past where we've had decent youth players coming in, and we have a couple of others, like a Rafa Mura, who's going to come up possibly sooner or later. And also, look, in Spain and finding players that, you know, most teams don't want or, you know, can't afford. I don't want us looking at Portugal or looking at England for recycled players. I think we need to start looking at home to find players, you know, maybe in the second division that, you know, that are decent enough that could play in La Liga and, you know, start to build a base there. Because there's really no identity to the team. There's no togetherness, and there's no, you know, core part of the group that is consistent enough for us.
It's a mishmash, and it's been a mishmash the last couple of years since you guys qualified for the Champions League again. You have guys like Danny Parejo, who's occasionally a great player, but you also have Nani, who's been very good for you guys. You have young fullbacks in Cancelo and Gaia, and young midfielders in Soler. But you also have older players like Mario Suarez, and Nani's 30, and you have Ezequiel Garay, who came in at the end of the window. Guilherme Sequeira is still peddling playing his trade at Valencia somehow. And you bought Fabian Orellana in January, and he's 31 years old. So there doesn't seem to be a policy in terms of in terms of what you're looking for. You're just looking for players.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of why I was like, yeah, this guy had no clue what he's doing, because there's no sort of plan. You know, go for an under 26 type of policy where you're finding players in La Liga or, you know, in the league below it, and try to find players like that can possibly build us up. And obviously bring in more youth players, which will get the fans at least going and saying, hey, one of our own is actually going out there and playing.
And that's of course, before you sell them to Barcelona.
Exactly.
Because you know that's coming.
What about Voro? I mean, I know he's been caretaker manager 4 times, so he kind of deserved a crack at it. But do you want him to be there long-term, or would you be looking for someone else?
I think I'd be looking for somebody else, because I don't think he wants that job. I don't think he wants that job. He didn't even want to be a caretaker anymore as it was. He kind of just wants to be a loyal club man, which he is, and he's done well for me. And kind of, I'll be greedy and selfish myself. I don't want him to have to deal with the, you know, day-to-day grind of being a permanent manager, because it might ruin some of the shine that he's had over the years, where he's came in and, you know, he's done a job for us, if it's like only 8 or 9 games or if it's just for the rest of the season. So I would like to bring in somebody who can actually start to bring things together. And I mean, I knew we couldn't get him after Prandelli, but I'm thinking maybe a Marcelino, if we can possibly get him. I don't know what the rules are there, but possibly get him over the summer and start with that. I think that would be my ideal hire.
Marcelino would be perfect.
I don't think Varo wants to do it permanently, personally.
Marcelino would be perfect. I think the reason he couldn't come earlier this season was because you can't manage two sides in the same year in La Liga. And he's let go by Villarreal in mid-August, the league had already counted that as managing a Spanish team for the season, and you can't manage two Spanish teams in one season. So, I mean, personally, I thought that was kind of splitting hairs, but, you know, the rules were the rules. Marcelino would be great for you guys, and there is the money to pay for him. But the manager's decision, you started with Ayestarán, who lost his first 4 games and was promptly let go, and then Prandelli came in. What did you make of the job Prandelli did?
He didn't do a very good one. then he pretty much alienated all the players by saying most of these guys aren't fit to wear the shirt, pretty much. And I didn't understand that hard to begin with, because you're bringing in a guy who doesn't know La Liga. Yes, he's a continental manager, and he's a decent manager in his own right, but I just didn't see what the purpose was in bringing him in. It was just like I said about PLM and all those guys. It was just kind of eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by its toe. it just felt like just a guess, another guess that I didn't understand. And obviously he didn't do a good enough job, because he just doesn't know the league and he doesn't know the players. And that was obvious by him criticizing them very early and acting like he was actually going to get 5 or 6 new players in the transfer market, which...
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. The managerial policy seems to be kind of the same as the transfer policy. Hey, it's a big name. Let's go get him. You know, it doesn't matter the cost or how good he actually is. Let's go get him.
Let's go get him. He might have been good at a time or something like that. He might have been good, like, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. Let's go try him. this guy plays at Manchester City. He must be good. Even though they're ahead of him.
Yeah. Well, this guy used to play at Barcelona. Friend, he must be good. He played at United once. He's got to be awesome.
He was compared to Cristiano Ronaldo. Peter Lim obviously was going to get 90.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, coming from Turkey, that was going to work out.
So the future at Valencia is not so clear, and it's a club in limbo. It's been a club in limbo. Would you say that fourth place finish in 2014-15 was one of the worst things that could have happened to the club, in a way?
In a way, because it did, yeah. In a way, because it brought false hope.
Yeah.
It brought false hope to everything. I don't know what was going on. We were pretty much going to bring a guy with no knees in Rodrigo Caio to our club when we had a ready-made guy in Beula who went from Marseille to Porto, and then he went to Stoke. We had him coming on, but then Jorge Mendes and Nuno decided, oh, we want to bring this guy from Brazil that keeps on failing medicals for some reason or another. That basically got rid of Salvo, got rid of, I believe it's Rufete, got rid of all those guys, and that's kind of where it started, where some of our Valencia-owned guys, they left the club because Nuno and Jorge Mendes were deciding to do their own thing and going past those guys. So, yeah, I think that fourth place finish didn't help, but that summer afterwards was also terrible. Disaster. Because we did buy Rodrigo on that $30 million for him.
Yeah.
For him. A guy like that. So, yeah, I think that was definitely a mirage we got at that fourth place, because then all of this stuff happened.
It was very nearly third place too. If Atletico only finished third by 1 point, they drew against Granada on the final day of the season. If they hadn't gotten that draw, Valencia would have gotten third on head to head.
Yep.
So that was
very scary. I mean, we played some good football that year too. I mean, to be fair, I thought, you know, I drank the Kool-Aid. I thought this was going to be a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
That's summer definitely sobered me up really, really fast, though.
Yeah, and Rodrigo Caio was also very close to moving to Atletico before he signed that deal with Valencia. About 6 months before he signed that contract, Atletico looked at his medical history, though, and said, no, we don't want him. So he went back to Sao Paulo, and then he signed the contract with you guys, and then he again went back to Sao Paulo. So very, very strange goings on with him. And that 2014-15 Valencia team with Otamendi at the back, he was the best defender in La Liga that season. Otamendi was imperious that year. And you guys had a really sound team. A few lucky results, definitely weren't in control of play at all times, but got the results you needed to get and made the Champions League. And so quickly, too, I think that I wouldn't have blamed you for drinking the Kool-Aid. Coming back into the Champions League so quickly after a few years in the wilderness, but now it's gotten worse. And there isn't a clear plan in place. There doesn't seem to be a plan to put a plan in place. And it's an uncomfortable position for a club, because unless something like a turnaround like there was a couple of years ago happens again, this is going to be a mid-table team for the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, we have to bring in the right manager to come in and do the job, and hopefully our new technical director, sporting director, is able to at least get some vision to what we're doing and tell Peter Lim, stay over there in Singapore. I mean, he's going to do that anyway, but just stay over there. Don't let us do the job. You watch from afar, and just let us do the job. We're going to try to be a little cheaper because obviously we're not going to make the Champions League again. So that revenue is not coming in. And hopefully that we decide to do that instead of trying to force getting these, you know, middle-aged guys who have names, but they're not, they shouldn't be at the squad, they shouldn't be at our club because there's pretty much a good reason why they're available.
Yeah, they're not that good. And that has to change, and the fans have got to get along too. There's stability abroad and at home and at Mestalla. The ultras trying to put these restrictions in place, it's only going to serve to further divide supporters and divide the club, and it's not healthy. And a club like Valencia that has been so great has, you know, they made two Champions League finals back in back-to-back years. They won La Liga more than a decade ago, and consistently a top three, top four team in the Champions League knockouts every year. It's got to just be so frustrating. Everyone's got to get along, and no one's getting along.
No, it's not. I haven't been closely monitoring that the fan situation. I've seen a couple articles, but it kind of seems like the club, and when I say the club, I'm meaning Peter Lim,
yeah,
and Lehun. It seems like they're the ones doing a lot of the dividing, in which they're placing restrictions on those ultras. And I mean, we know about them. We both know about our ultras and ultras in general all over the world.
Yeah, the Frente Atletico are special. They're special snowflakes.
Yeah, they got a couple of screw looses here and there.
Yeah, whew.
But you kind of gotta take care of them because they're the ones that are going to be voicing a lot. They're going to be, even if they're the minority, they're going to be sounding like the majority throughout. So you kind of gotta appease them just to make them feel special. And I don't think the club is doing that. No, I don't think the club is doing that with them or the media at that. And they're kind of just shutting everybody out and treating it like a company, which you can't really treat a football club like a company.
No.
But that's what they're attempting to do.
Would you take your old friend Rafa Benitez if he leaves Newcastle this summer?
I think I would. I think I would. He knows. I mean, he's dealt with Valencia before, and he deals with. I wouldn't say middling clubs, but just kind of petering close to the top type clubs, like Napoli.
Yeah,
he did well there. I think once you get to a club like a Real Madrid or like a even Bayern Munich or a Chelsea or a Manchester City, I think he struggles there because he wants to do things his way, and most players don't like that.
Those clubs don't offer him the freedom to do that.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, yeah, these Valencia players, if they're being told the right things to do, then, yeah, they'll take every word of his, and he has done some good work, so we know he can do it again.
Yeah, he's done a pretty good job rebuilding Newcastle, it seems. So
granted, it's the worst. It's the second division, but, you know, they're on top of it. They've played good football, and he knows Valencia. He knows the Spanish league. It didn't work out at Real Madrid for a variety of reasons, most of them institutional, but...
Yeah, he should have never been appointed.
Probably not. And the players never respected him, which made things worse.
Yeah, exactly. Ronaldo especially.
I read yesterday that Paco Gemez could be in the running. Well, how would you feel about that?
when he first left Real, I was keen on it. But now I'm like, God, I want to leave this guy alone. Because he was at Granada for a little bit.
Basically begging them to sack him early this season.
That was amazing.
He's like, sack me, I dare you. So they did.
It's like, all right. You got nothing else to lose. Fine. Well, we can do that. So I'm leaving him alone for now because we need somebody to make the defense better also. And
right. He's not going to do that.
Definitely not the type of manager for that.
Yeah, so, he's a very he's very combative too, especially in press conferences. I think someone with a very steady hand, very calm, steady hand, who can focus on playing pragmatically, that's the kind of guy that you guys need. Like Marcelino, hey, I hear he's available.
Yep.
Yeah. Last thing you need is another antagonistic guy.
Yeah. You don't really want that. No.
He will be fighting with Jimenez will be fighting with our media all day long.
Yep.
It'd be fun to watch, but probably not very productive.
Yeah. Before the game, after the game, maybe even during the game. All right, so this weekend, Valencia home to Sporting Gijón at Mestalla. Are you at all confident?
I am confident, but at my confidence level, I'm sure we're going to do something to mess this up.
Yeah.
Like we did last year with Gary Neville losing to Sporting Gijón at the Mestalla. But I'm confident that I will get the job done. The team enjoys playing for Voro, and they know that he has their back. So I believe that we can get a 3-1 victory and, you know, keep ourselves far away from that relegation zone. So I'm very confident that we can get this victory this weekend.
Yeah, still 3 wins in the last 5, just 6 goals conceded in the last 6 for Valencia. So, and 3 of them in 1 game. So that's encouraging, if nothing else. And Sporting Gijón still buried in the relegation zone. They're 6 points off safety, even with Ruby there. He doomed Levante last year. Looks like he's going to doom Sporting Gijón again, doom them this year. That's the early game Saturday. The late game Saturday is Atletico traveling to Granada, traveling to Los Cármenes to play Granada, who are also in the drop zone. I'm confident about this game too, but I think in a reverse of last week, this will end with a Granada win, just to throw me off.
Yeah, it's whatever you don't expect.
Exactly.
Generally.
Yeah. and Atletico have taken points in 9 of the last 10 in La Liga. The only game they didn't take points in was against Barcelona, and they were 5 minutes from a draw in that game. Less than 5 minutes from a draw in that game. But at times during this run, they've still been unconvincing. This past weekend was the best they've looked in La Liga in. Honestly, it's the best they've played since November in La Liga. I'm going to say it. It's the best they've looked in a league game in about 4 months. They were that good. And I have no idea if it's going to carry over. We have to take these games in a vacuum because their form has just been so topsy-turvy. So maybe they'll get another convincing win. Maybe they won't. Who knows?
Well, if both Sporting and Granada lose this weekend, they could be out of sight in terms of the relegation battle if Depor and Leganés pick up more points.
Well, Depor have Barcelona, so I wouldn't expect that.
Yeah, probably not. I doubt Pepe Mel can give that much of a new manager bounce, but
and,
you know.
And Leganés have Sevilla, so I wouldn't expect either one of them to pick up any points.
No.
Looks like relegation is going to drag on for another week, even though we pretty much know who's going to get relegated.
Oh, yeah, Osasuna are locked on.
As long as we stay far away from it, I am good with that.
10 points right now, so looking good. This is, the distance between you and relegation is as many points as Osasuna have this entire season. So think of it like that.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Fine.
You guys are making me feel a little bit better. I was starting to feel a little bit sad when we were talking about Valencia, but now a little bit better than I did before.
That's our aim here. We want to make you feel good about this rudderless team right now. But 10 points clear, 13th place, and hopefully for you guys another win on the horizon. I kind of want to see Sporting go down. I don't really like them very much. I also want to see Depor go down because of the whole Torres incident. But Torres was at the Calderon this past weekend. He was apparently totally fine. He was back in training today. He's apparently totally fine, which is remarkable. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't think anyone thought he'd be recovered that quickly, but well done to him, I guess.
Yeah, indeed. What else we got? In terms of more injury news, Gabby played with a bandage over his wrist on Sunday. He didn't see it at first because it was flesh-colored, but it turns out he needs surgery on a couple fingers. He's probably not going to play against Granada, and he is suspended against Leverkusen in midweek. So we likely will not see him back wearing red and white until Sevilla comes to the Calderon on March 19th.
Yeah, it'll be a good opportunity for players like Thomas, potentially, or other players to sort of have a different midfield, because Gabby's been in there basically the whole season, and for any sort of successful lineup Atleti have had.
Yeah, Thomas should start this weekend. Cholo's not going to rotate very much, because that's just not what he does. It's not in his managerial DNA. I think Thomas will play this weekend. Probably going to see Griezmann and Gamero up top again. Godin is back. His yellow served a suspension over the weekend, so he should play. And depending on how smoothly things go, maybe we'll see some substitutions early on. I mean, there's not going to be too much urgency, as Atletico have a 4-2 lead over Leverkusen with the four away goals. So they should be through just about no matter what happens on they play on Tuesday, I believe.
I believe that's right.
Yes, they play on Tuesday at the Calderon. All right. Anything else, guys?
Nope. I think that's it for me.
Andre, you good?
I am good.
Excellent. Well, I am going to start the sign-off message. I'd like you guys to stick around for just a second, but you can follow me on Twitter at JBBerren. That's JBBERREN. You can follow Andre at AHT4005. You can follow Rob at his new handle, RWalk03.
Rebranding.
All the rebrand. Nope, no more trapping for you. No more trapping.
Yeah, I had to give it up.
Ain't no more trapping up here. Yeah, you can follow Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook as well. We've always got fire content on Facebook. And remember, you can listen and subscribe to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can find us on all of those platforms. Leave a rating and a review on iTunes. Really helps us out. And yeah, thus concludes the sign-off message. Thank you as ever for listening to this edition of Colchonero Chat, and we'll see you next time. Adios.